Welcome to Torah Yomecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Lamed Bet. We concluded chapter 31 by noting that Chizkiyahu acted in a way that was good, upright, and faithful before Hashem as God. We stand at a pivotal juncture in Jewish history, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin states, "Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach." The Holy One, blessed be He, sought to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. Let us learn what happened next. אחרי הדברים והאמת האלה, בא סנחר מלך אשור, ויבוא ביהודה, ויחן על הערים הבצורות, ויאמר לבק עם אליו. After these faithful deeds, King Sennacherib of Assyria came, invaded Judah, and set up camps against the fortified cities. He planned to breach them so that he may take them. According to the parallel account in Kings 2 Malachim Bet, this occurred during the 14th year of Chizkiyahu's reign, 10 years after Galut Aseret HaShvatim, when Assyria exiled the northern kingdom. How are the two parts of verse 1 connected? The implication is that the invasion of Sennacherib is somehow related to the events described previously. That's inconceivable. How could Chizkiyahu's good deeds be repaid by an Assyrian invasion? Radak and Mitzuda David explain that despite Chizkiyahu's righteousness, there was still much wrong with the people. Malbim suggests a different explanation. We should not say that Sennacherib came against Chizkiyahu because of some sin for which God wished to punish him. On the contrary, this occurred after he did not deviate from his good path. So this came about through divine providence, so that a miracle would be performed through him and Sennacherib would fall. He continues to quote more of the Gemara from Sanhedrin and notes that Chazal amru shebikesh la'asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach v'Sennacherib gog u'magog. Lefi zeh biyat Sennacherib haya lahagdil shem Yisrael v'shem malkam v'haya mesuvav min hadvarim ha'emet v'eila. And the sages said that God sought to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach and Sennacherib gog u'magog. According to this, the coming of Sennacherib was meant to magnify the name of Israel and the name of its king, and was brought about as a consequence of these very deeds and this truth. The War of Gog Magog is the final conflict described in Tanakh, which precedes the ultimate redemption and the arrival of Mashiach. Chizkiyahu saw that Sennacherib had come and that he was turned against Jerusalem, so in verses 3 to 8, Chizkiyahu prepares for battle. He denied water to the potential besiegers, built fortifications, and manufactured an abundance of weapons. He set military commanders over the people and gathered them together to him to the boulevard at the city's gate and addressed them persuasively, saying, "Chizku v'imsu al tiru v'al tichatu b'bnei melech Ashur u'milfnei kol ha'mon asher imo ki imanu rav me'imo. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be frightened or dismayed by the king of Assyria or by the horde that is with him, for we have more than he has." Imo zroa basar, imanu Hashem alkeinu le'ezreinu hilachem el chamarotenu, v'yisamchu ha'am al divrei Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. War with him is an arm of flesh, but with us, it is Hashem, our God, to help us and fight our battles. The people were encouraged by the speech of Chizkiyahu. Verses 9 to 23 are the accounts of the confrontation with the Assyrians. This is described in Malachim Bet in 68 verses, while in Divrei Yamim Bet it is recorded in 23. That is because it is not the intention of our Sefer to tell the story of what happened. It is to highlight the essential nature of the showdown. This was no ordinary war. We will see in verses 16, 17, and 19, which have no parallel in Malachim Bet, that it is a war directed against God. This is what led the sages to say that it could possibly have been the final Gog and Magog war. After Sennacherib saw that Chizkiyahu had every intention of waging war, he sent his servants to convince him of the futility of his defense. We know from the parallel account that the servants are three important officers, Tartan, Rav Saris, and Rav Shekeh. Rav Shekeh begins and says the following, "Ko amar Sennacherib melech Ashur, ama temple tchim v'yoshvim b'matzor b'yushlaim. Thus said King of Sennacherib of Assyria, upon what are you placing your trust, that you continue to dwell in Jerusalem?" He continues and says, "Truly, Chizkiyahu is misleading you, consigning you to die of hunger and thirst, saying Hashem, our God, will deliver us from the hands of the king of Assyria. Halohu yechizkiyahu esir b'amotav, ve'em ezbichotav, v'yomer liyudu v'yushalayim limor, lifnei mizbeach achat ishtachavu, ve'alav tikteru." But it is not Chizkiyahu the one who removed the shrines and altars and commanded the people of Judah and Jerusalem, saying, "You shall worship before but one altar, and upon it you sacrifice?" Clearly, the messengers of the king of Assyria had good intelligence of what had transpired in the lands of Yehuda. Although the removal of the altars was in keeping with the Torah's prohibition against offering sacrifices outside the temple, the Assyrians attempted to incite the people away from Chizkiyahu by addressing those individuals who had been hurt by the king's initiative and possibly harbored resentment toward him. Such people had perhaps been offering upon their own altars for the past century and had recently been informed that their families had acted incorrectly all those years. Their altars were destroyed and they were instructed to ascend to Jerusalem. Rav Shakeh continued by saying, "Have any of the gods of the nations of the lands we have already conquered been able to deliver their land from my hand? They all bowed down to their gods and relied upon them, and yet not one of those nations was saved, neither by its god nor by its army. Now, do not let Chizkiyahu entice you, and do not let him mislead you in this manner, and do not have faith in him. Just as no power was able to stop me until now, so too your God will be unable to stand up against me." Then in verse 16 we are told, "V'o dibru avadav al Hashem ha'alkim v'al Chizkiyahu avdo." His officers said still more things against Hashem and against Chizkiyahu, Hashem's servant. He also wrote letters to taunt Hashem, God of Israel, saying, "Just as the gods of the other nations of the earth did not save their people from me, so the God of Chizkiyahu will not save this people from me." Verse 18 informs us, "Vayikru b'kol gadol yudit al am Yerushalayim asher al ha'choma liyaram levahalam leman yilkedu ha'ir." They called loudly in the language of Yehuda to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them into panic so as to capture the city. And Melachim Bet Chizkiyahu's servants asked Rav Shakeh to talk in Aramaic so that the listening crowds would not understand. And Rav Shakeh defied them and pointed out that this is precisely his intention. He wants the people to hear his message. Rashi suggests that Pasuk 19 is inserted at this point to inform us of the outrage Ezra has at the philosophical underpinnings of Rav Shakeh's arguments. Sefer zeh hu kovel al naval zeh Sancheriv shecheref Elohim chayim. The author of this book complains about the villain Sancheriv who blasphemed the living God. He continues and wrote, "V'dimu et Elohei Yitzreinu yoser kol Elohei amim shem maaseh yedeim." They compared God, our maker, who formed everything, to the gods of the peoples who are their own handiwork. In reaction to that, we read, "V'yitzpalel Chizkiyahu melech v'yishiyahu ben Amoz hanavi alzot v'yizaku hashemayim." Then King Chizkiyahu and the prophet Isaiah son of Amoz prayed about this and cried out to heaven. The tefillah is not explicated here, but we do have the text from Melachim Bet and Yishayahu. We'll briefly read some of it here. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Yosheva Kruvim, Atahu Elokim Levadech Elochom Amlechot Aretz, Atah Asit Et Hashemayim Ve'Et Aretz. O Hashem, the God of hosts, enthroned on the cherubim, you alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You made the heavens and the earth. Hateh Hashem Oznecha Ushma, Bekach Hashem Enecha Re'eh, Ushma Et Divrei Sancheriv Asher Shlachol Lecharif Elohim Chai. Hashem, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see. Hear the words that Sancheriv has sent to blaspheme the living God. Ve'ata, Hashem Elkeinu, Hoshienu na miyado, ve'yadu kol mamlechot aras, ki ata, Hashem, Elokim, levadecha. But now, Hashem, our God, deliver us from his hands, and let all the kingdoms of the earth know that you alone are God. Hashem heard their tefillot, as we see from the next three verses. Hashem sent an angel, and he annihilated every mighty warrior, high official, and commander in the camp of the king of Assyria. In one night, a heavenly force struck the Assyrians, killing the leaders of the camps, its captains, all its officers, and perhaps other soldiers as well. The king of Assyria returned shamefacedly to his own land, as he had failed to achieve his goals. He came to the house of his God to pray, and his own offspring conspired against him and struck him down by the sword. The sudden departure of the camp of Sancheriv from Jerusalem was a great miracle. Furthermore, the king's end proves that he sinned greatly with his derisive comments and his arrogance. As related elsewhere, he was assassinated by two of his own sons. Hashem saved Chizkiyahu and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hands of Sancheriv, king of Assyria, and from the hands of everyone, and guided them toward a peaceful existence, protecting them from their enemies on every side. The clash comes to an end, and then we learn that many were bringing gifts to Hashem, to Jerusalem, and precious things to Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, as he was regarded highly by all the nations. This verse has messianic overtones, which is based on Tehillim. Kol sivav yovilu shai lamora. Those all around shall bring tribute to the Awesome One. Radak holds that this refers to a time after victory in the mighty war of Gog u'Magog, which precedes the arrival of Mashiach. So too in Yeshayahu chapter 18 we see, ba'et hahi yuval shai l'Hashem tzvakot. At that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of the hosts. So maybe the moment we have been waiting for is about to happen. Remember the Gemara we learned at the beginning of the chapter? Chizkiyahu could be Mashiach. This is what makes verses 24 to 26 very upsetting. The story of Chizkiyahu's illness is retold in just 3 psukim, as opposed to the 19 verses in Malachim Bet and 12 in Yeshayahu. This means Divrei Yomim is sharing with us just the essence of the narrative. Vayamim ahem chala Yechizkiyahu ad lamut, v'yitzpalel al Hashem, v'yomer lo, u'mofet natan lo. At that time, Chizkiyahu fell deathly sick. He prayed to Hashem, who responded to him, and gave him a sign. We have a few questions that we need to answer in order to understand verse 24. What does Bayamim Hahem refer to? According to Rashi, it was the 3 days before Sancheirav's downfall. How did Chizkiyahu get sick? The Gemara in Brachot explained, Amar le, my kulahai, Amar le mishum de lo asakta b'priyo rivya, Amar le mishum de chazali b'ruach kodesh, de nafke minai b'nin de lo malu. Chizkiyahu said to him, what is all this? For what transgression am I being punished? Yeshayahu said to him, because you did not marry and engage in procreation. Chizkiyahu apologized and said, I had no children because I envisioned through divine inspiration that the children that emerged from me will not be virtuous. Amar le bahadei kashay derachmana lamalach, maide mifkadeti balei lamaved, maide nichakame kochabrichu, laved. Yeshayahu said to him, why do you involve yourself with the secrets of the Holy One, blessed be He? That which you have been commanded, the mitzvah of procreation, you are required to perform. And that which is acceptable in the eyes of the Holy One, blessed be He, let Him perform, as He has so decided. What is the mofet, that sign that Hashem gave him? The answer is found in the story of Malachim Bet. Vayomer Yeshayahu, Zelcha ot meit Hashem, ki yaseh Hashem et hadavar asher diber. Halach hatzel eser malot, im yashuv eser malot. Yeshayahu replied, this is a sign for you from God that God will do the thing that was promised. Shall the shadow advance 10 steps or recede 10 steps? Vayomer Yechizkiyahu, Nakel atzel lintot eser malot lo, ki yashuv atzel achronit eser malot. Chizkiyahu said, it's easy for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps, but not for the shadow to recede 10 steps. Vayikra Yeshayahu navi el Hashem, vayashevet atzel b'malot asher yadaba malot achaz achronit eser malot. So the prophet Isaiah called out to God, and the shadow that had descended on the dial of Achaz was made to recede 10 steps. Chizkiyahu was given the choice. Do you prefer that the shadow on the sundial, indicating the time of day, should be sped up by 10 degrees, or that it be delayed by 10 degrees? Chizkiyahu said, it is easy for the shadow to incline and move ahead by 10 stairs. The shadow naturally moves in that direction. So even if it moves ahead more quickly than usual, it is a less obvious sign. No. Rather, let the shadow go backward 10 stairs. This lengthened the duration of the day. And then we learn in verse 25, "Lo ki gamo alav hashiv Yechizkiyahu ki gaval libo, v'yi alav ketzef al Yehudah v'Yerushalayim." Chizkiyahu made no return for what had been bestowed upon him, for he grew arrogant. So wrath was decreed for him and for Judah and Jerusalem. How are we to understand verse 25, Pasuk Chavei? There's no Pasuk like this in Malachim Bet. Because Ezra here is going to the heart of the matter, and the details that led to Chizkiyahu's arrogance are less relevant now. Those details can be found in the parallel account in Malachim Bet, chapter 20. The Babylonian king hears of the miracle and sends ambassadors to Chizkiyahu. They were received cordially and with exaggerated respect. Chizkiyahu showed them all of his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spice, and the fragrant oil, and his armory and everything that was to be found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his palace or all his realm that Chizkiyahu did not show them. The Midrash helps us understand Chizkiyahu's pride and ultimate error. Shera'a Chizkiyahu shulchei melech bavel nitzga'a b'li b'olam alav v'hara lahem et kol ha'otzerot v'od shepatach ha'aron v'hara lahem et ha'luchot amar lahem bo anu osim melchama v'notzchin. Ka'as alav ha'kodesh baruch hu amar lo lo dailcha sheharata lahem otzerot melech yudah v'et kol otzerot beit kodesh ha'kdashim v'od shepatach lahem et ha'aron v'hara lahem et ha'luchot maseh yadai chayecha hem ya'alu v'yichlu et kol ha'otzerot v'tachar ha'luchot. When Chizkiyahu saw the emissaries of the king of Babylonia, his heart grew haughty, and he showed them all his treasures. Moreover, he opened the ark and showed them the tablets and said to them, with this we wage war and are victorious. The Holy One, blessed be He, became angry and said to him, is it not enough that you showed them the treasures of the kings of Judah and all the treasures of the Holy of Holies, but you also opened the ark and showed them the tablets, the work of my hands? By your life, they will come and take all the treasuries, and in the place of the tablets, your sons will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylonia. Yeshayahu echoes this when he informs Chizkiyahu that the Babylonians will become a superpower, and they will take everything you have shown them. Furthermore, they will take boys from among your sons, and they will be officials in the palace of the king of Babylon. Chizkiyahu's reaction in verse 26, Vayikana Yechizkiyahu begov alibo, hu v'yoshve Yerushalayim, v'lo ba'aleim ketzef Hashem, b'mei Yechizkiyahu. Then Chizkiyahu humbled himself where he had been arrogant, and he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and no wrath of God came on them during the reign of Chizkiyahu. But it's too late. Chizkiyahu truly did have the potential, but his pride got in the way. He showed the Aron to the Babylonians and was implying that he had a significant role in the help that Hashem provided the Jewish people. Veracious Rabbah helps us understand that the great hope attached to Chizkiyahu's reign ended in disillusion. The chapter continues with verses 27 to 30, which describe Chizkiyahu's great wealth. It is interesting that at this point, that is the focus of the verses. In reality, Chizkiyahu is remembered more for his spiritual accomplishments. For example, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we are told that Chizkiyahu ensured Torah study. He inserted a sword at the entrance of the study hall and said, "Anyone who does not engage in Torah study shall be stabbed with this sword." As a result, they searched from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south and did not find an ignoramus. But Divrei HaYamim is silent based on the judgments of history. Ultimately, his good deeds in helping make Torah supremely important did not have the profound effect it could have had. Ultimately, though, as a person, we read in verse 30, "V'hu Yechizkiyahu satam emotza mimei gochon helion v'yashrem lamata marava le'ir David v'itzlach Yechizkiyahu b'chol ma'oseu." It was Chizkiyahu who stopped the spring of the waters of Upper Gihon, leading it downward west of the city of David. Chizkiyahu prospered in all that he did. We have learned about phrases like the one that opened our verse, "V'hu Yechizkiyahu," that he remained the righteous Chizkiyahu throughout his career. And he was successful in all that he did. And we get clarification of the events with the Babylonian ambassadors in verse 31. So too in the matter of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who were sent to him to inquire about the sign that was in the land, when God forsook him in order to test him to learn all that was in his mind. Unfortunately, as we have learned, Chizkiyahu erred. He should not have shown the ambassadors all that he showed and definitely not opened the aron for them. The chapter ends by summing up Chizkiyahu's reign in the format used for most kings. It stands out in the last pasuk, verse 33, when it says, "Vayishkav Chizkiyahu imav atav yikberu b'ma'alei kivrei b'nei David, v'kavod asulo b'moto, kol yudav v'yoshvei Yerushalayim, v'yimloch panasha b'no tachtav." Chizkiyahu rested with his ancestors and was buried in the finest parts of the tombs of the sons of David. When he died, all the people of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem accorded him much honor. Menashe, his son, succeeded him. According to Radak, who quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama, when it says that Chizkiyahu was buried in the choicest part of the tombs, it means it was with the choicest members of the family. Who are they? David and Shlomo. What is the great honor he received? There are two opinions in the Gemara, that either they built a temporary house of study near his grave in recognition of the enormous contributions he made toward Torah study, or that a Sefer Torah was placed on his coffin and the people declared, "Kiyem zeh, ma sheketuv bazeh." He fulfilled that which this demanded. So Chizkiyahu's personal integrity was intact and honored, but alas, on the grand scales of history, he failed and did not become Mashiach. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Sturman Chayuiz Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.